Welcome to CT Expert Insights. When your business needs people it can trust, you can count on us. We dedicate ourselves to getting to know your needs and finding solutions to meet them. You'll have a team of experts backing you up.
Our guest this week is Tom Zaki. He is the founder and CEO of TerraCycle, a business that recycles the unrecyclable. And so we want to get Tom's input here onto where he got this idea from, how it works, and the business model that goes along with it. And Tom, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, recycling the unrecyclable, where did this idea come from and how did you pursue it?
Well, so this whole concept came to me in my freshman year of college, and I was really just thinking about, you know, as people do in college, you know, these expansive ideas. And to me, it was, why does garbage exist? And if we really think about it, garbage came about right after, you know, right around the 1950s, and when two things occurred. Complex materials like plastics became very commercially available, and people got really into the idea of consumerism. And that creates this epidemic of waste. And so then the question is, well, why are certain things like aluminum cans and paper recyclable, but most other things not? And it turns out it has everything to do with economics. What makes an aluminum can recyclable is that recovered aluminum is very valuable. What makes a toothbrush, a lipstick, a sunglasses, chip bags not recyclable is it costs more to collect and process them than they're worth. And to me, it just screamed that if economics are the issue, a business model can solve it. And that's how TerraCycle was born.
And so how did you pursue it from a business model?
So the way TerraCycle works, and today we operate in 21 countries around the world, is we have three questions we ask, and each of those are our three business units. The first question we ask is your product or your package recyclable? And if the answer is no, like it is on, say, chewing gum, diapers, cigarette butts, and pens, and so on, we physically figure out a way to collect it, typically nationally, and then turn it into new objects through recycling, upcycling, and reuse, different circular solutions. And to make all this work economically, we get funding from major retailers, major brands, factories, cities, and so on, and we show them that by funding these platforms, they can boost their business and win compared to their competition. And it works really well and has been growing ever since for now 15 years. The second question then we ask, once we've done that, is how do we integrate recycled material back into products, really completing that circle? And there we focus on unique materials that never were integrated before. A great example this year is we now manage and run the world's largest supply chain to ocean plastic. And we collect plastics from oceans, lakes, rivers, and beaches. And that gets integrated into massive global products like the Head & Shoulders bottle, the Dawn dish soap bottle, and many, many other examples as well. And then the last question we ask, which is a platform we're launching in about a year from now, is how do you move away from disposability altogether to not have waste? And that is all about moving these products, these same famous products, into hyper-durable packaging containers that can then keep going around and around.
And when you say that, does that mean you refill them or they can just be used for other things? How does that work?
So that platform, which will launch in 2019, is all about giving consumers a very simple experience, as simple as disposability, but instead of us collecting them back and melting them down, we collect them back, clean them, and then get them refilled and send it out again. It's just a significantly better approach to the environment because there's no waste at all in the process.
And talk about the issue now of corporate social responsibility. Obviously, yours is directly related to that, but even a lot of businesses that don't deal with trash and recyclables and non-recyclables and that sort of thing, there's clearly a greater conscience about this sort of thing. So how does that fit into your business model?
Absolutely. So, you know, in the past 10, 15 years, this idea of CSR, or corporate social responsibility, these functions have emerged in all these major businesses. And everyone cares. Everyone wants to do the right thing. Now, what's really fascinating is because CSR departments don't actually typically have budgets. They're influencing departments. And so what they have been able to do is influence the marketing, operations, and so on departments of all these corporations to look at CSR as a factor. Our job is to take that momentum, which is really real, and show these organizations how they can win, how they can beat their competition by recycling things that were never recyclable before or by integrating amazing recycled materials. And that has been the magic sauce, if you will, of TerraCycle's, you know, straight growth. Every year we've only grown, and that's a big, really big part of it. But you have to show them how it's going to make them money and how it's going to give them value.
Talk about expanding from domestically to internationally. How long of a process was that? And were there any particular hurdles doing this in a lot of different countries with a lot of different regulations and laws and all sorts of things?
Absolutely. So our first 5 years, we were a U.S.-only company. And then we opened our first foreign market was Brazil, and fast-tracked today to being 15 years running. We're in 21 countries from China, New Zealand, Mexico, and many other markets. What's interesting is actually way simpler than it seems, partly because all the waste in the world is exactly the same. Take Colgate, you know, they make the toothbrushes in America, but they also make them everywhere else in the world, and it's the same toothbrush everywhere. And the same goes for almost every product example. Because of that, the same solution can be applied to all the same markets. In fact, even people's behavior around garbage, whether you look at Japan, Brazil, or the U.S. as three very different cultural countries, the behavior around waste is very similar. So even the ways we collect and so on can be replicated very, very simply. It turns out, you know, garbage is this sort of standard sauce, if you will, that's in all cultures. It's all the same, made by the same people, and disposed of very, very similarly. And that makes it a really exciting business to be able to replicate globally and do that in a very coherent way.
Tom, I don't know if you measure this sort of thing, but if you do, I would love to have you talk about it a little bit because I think it would help people understand the scope of your efforts here. How much trash do you deal with domestically, internationally? What kind of numbers are we talking about?
The number of what I'm referring to is only things that could not be recycled before, from cigarette butts to toothbrushes and so on. We do somewhere between 2 to maybe 4 million pounds a week of this type of material that, again, only could have gone to landfill and is now something that TerraCycle is collecting and turning into something new. And about half of that today is U.S., and then the other half is spread across the world. And that number keeps growing. I mean, it's one of the factors of how we measure the impact we have, because we really view ourselves as a social business. You know, even though we are for-profit, we have investors. In fact, we're going to be opening up a new financing round very, very soon. We recently filed with the SEC for a Regulation A-plus financing. Long story short, it's basically the way – it's sort of like crowdfunding, if you will. So if you're an investor who wants to own a part of the business, you can do that with a minimum investment of $700. And by the way, if anyone wants to know more about this, they just go to ownterracycle.com. And so this is the overall approach to how we think about it. We view our impact is how much waste we collect and recycle. But we want to do that not as an NGO, but as something that's a for-profit business that creates value for investors along the way, because that's how you can really grow.
Well, you've mentioned now that you can invest in this. You've mentioned it's for-profit. So how do you make money?
The way we make money is we first partner with organizations, again, like retailers, consumer product companies, cities, factories, and even small businesses. Those are our five main client types. And they pay for the service of creating solutions to recycle non-recyclable waste. A consumer product company like a Colgate may create a national program where consumers can use for free, but they're covering the cost, and that allows them to beat their competition. A retailer like, say, Target, funds, for example, national car seat recycling, where consumers can take their car seats, baby car seats, back to any Target store, put it into a TerraCycle bin, and we recycle it. That's funded by Target in a way to help them drive foot traffic. That's one of the key values they get, and this exists throughout. So we make money in that way, and then in our second division, we take all this waste that we collect, convert it into really amazing things, and then sell that to organizations who then buy it to make their products from it.
That's so interesting. Obviously, corporations, businesses would need to pay for removal of non-recyclable trash. So obviously it's beneficial to them economically to hire you than to just keep doing that. So you must be giving them a pretty good deal while still also getting a pretty good return.
Well, that's exactly right. We're luckily able to make money on both ends, both inbound and outbound. And what's really neat all in all is we do it in a way no one else does. There's no direct competition to TerraCycle. After 15 years of running our business, there's been not one direct competitor ever emerged. We've luckily enjoyed sustained growth. And I think a big part of that is that waste is just not all that sexy. You know, it's not the number one place people want to. Imagine if your child came up to you and said, they want to be a garbage person when they grow up. Would you encourage that or discourage that? And I think that speaks to why innovation in waste is very, very low, which means if you can innovate, you can really change the game and win in the process.
You talked about vision a little bit. You talked about the program you're starting in 2019. What other ideas are on the drawing board for TerraCycle?
Well, one of the big strategies we have now, especially as we matured into a larger business, is we're out there doing some M&A. We actually just purchased our first company, which is a large light bulb recycling organization in the United States. And we really think we can, you know, them coming in-house here to the TerraCycle Group will really help them grow and bring a really exciting innovation to their clients. And we're looking to do more of that. We think that if we absorb great small waste management companies that do unique things in the world of recycling, we can really boost their business and get a fantastic partnership. And so we're really thinking about a lot of that, with the first one literally just happening now.
Last question for you, Tom, and that would be, what advice over these 15 years you would pass along to other entrepreneurs? And it could be about anything that we've talked about here, setting a vision that you just pointed out that nobody else has followed despite your great success, attracting investors, and obviously providing a return on that investment. So whether it's lessons you learned the hard way or brilliant decisions or things that went your way in the moment, what would you point to as some of the key moments for you?
Well, for me, I think there's a number of key takeaways. I think the idea of infusing purpose into a business, making a business not just about making money, but about making money while doing good, and ideally the greatest good you can, I think is incredibly powerful. And it's something that especially young people, but all sorts of stakeholders, potential employees, potential customers, investors are all seeking more and more, much more than they used to 20, 30 years ago. And I think if you can do that, do it in a for-profit context versus a nonprofit context, because in a for-profit system, you can really manage your business cleanly, grow really well, raise capital, do all these really fantastic things. And hey, if you do it with purpose, you're making the world a better place every step of the way.
Tom, go ahead and give the websites again for those who just want to learn more about you, as well as those who want to get more involved with you.
Sure. So to learn about investing in TerraCycle, you would go to ownterracycle.com. And if you want to just learn about TerraCycle altogether, go to terracycle.com.
Tom, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic to hear your story and to see the success that you have found through a result of great hard work and a passion for what you do. Thank you so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Tom Zaki is the founder and CEO of TerraCycle. I'm Greg Corumbus. And for more information on this topic, please call CT at 844-787-7782.
With 125 years of experience, CT is here to help you at every stage of the business life cycle.